Easy come, easy go. Will you let me go?
Bismillah. No, we will not let you go. Let him go.
So Pastor Steve Norton is here with us today. He's a storyteller, he's a podcaster, he's a lover of all things related to the theater, to the film theater, to the movie house. What do you call it, Steve?
To the movie house.
The movie house.
To the talkies.
To the talkies.
Love the talkies.
Yes, to vaudeville. Small V or capital V?
Can we talk about vaudeville? I don't want to talk about vaudeville.
You don't want to talk about vaudeville?
Vaudeville's messy, man. That's a messy talk.
The man with the movie camera. Classic. Are you a student of film? Or would you just say you're a lover of film?
What do you mean? Like, have I taken
courses? Yeah, did you do like a degree, an undergrad or anything?
I almost did a minor, but I couldn't get the last course in, so so I'm minor-ish in
you're
film.
I'm an
English major with a minor-ish in film.
Minor-ish in film. So
does
that mean you
actually...
I'm a
student of story.
Did you graduate from the program?
No. I was in the English program.
Oh,
I was
okay.
In the English. I was
oh,
in the English
I
program,
see
which opened up certain film courses.
Right.
Because I
right.
wasn't in the...
Right. So it was probably a timing thing there.
Yeah,
or something.
Yeah, yeah,
right.
Yeah, got it.
The man with the movie camera. I'm still trying to get that, actually, and I have not seen the whole thing. I've only seen clips, but that kind of changed everything for the talkies, for vaudeville, for film, right? It was actually, wow, moving images. What are we going to do with these things? And we talked to Paul Bettings earlier today about photos and about the story of a single image, and now we're talking about, you know, what is it? I guess millions of images in a film. I don't even know, but I remember James Cameron, you know, Titanic director, Avatar director, talking about that 24 frames a second or something. So he wanted 25 because it would change perception.
Well, they're up to 48 now. That's right. I know they started doing it with Lord of the Rings. Actually, here's a fun, you know, you talk about the history of film. I think I'm right on this.
Mm-hmm.
The very first Canadian movie theater is in Beaverton, Ontario.
That's where the first theater was?
First movie theater, the
wow,
Strand
really?
Theater. Yeah, it's currently defunct, I believe, but
right.
It ran up until like about a year ago.
There's a great place in Mississauga, the Crooked Q, and they have some mm-hmm. awesome, for those of you who are local, and maybe many of you
just
aren't,
thinking of that.
There it used to be a movie house.
Mm.
It was pretty much vaudeville. I mean, mm-hmm. honestly, mm-hmm. some of the photos, I bet you some vaudeville
they're
acts
beautiful.
Work there. It's gorgeous.
Yeah.
But it's a pool hall, and you go downstairs to the washroom, and they got these lovely photos on the wall, down on Lakeshore, down... Yeah, it's really cool.
We've got that number five drive-in up here.
It's still there. Yeah.
Right, the drive-in, yeah.
I was just at the Regent Theater last night for the Pomegranate Film Festival, and it's one of those more older classic theaters.
The Pomegranate Film Festival.
Yeah, that's right. It's Armenian Film Festival.
Oh, okay. Okay.
On this weekend at the... No.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. That's...
not trying to cheap plug it, but it is on this weekend.
Tell us a little bit more about the festival and why it matters.
I don't know enough to tell you. Actually, a friend of mine is one of the programmers for the festival.
Okay.
And that's one of the leading ones in Armenian film, and it was great. Last night I saw a film, you would love it.
Okay.
Called Netizens. You would love it.
Netizens.
It's all about online sexual harassment.
That's
not why you would love it.
Okay.
It's not what I was trying to say. You would love this, David.
Can we have some footnotes here?
Yeah, this goes back to the piranha massages you were talking about just earlier.
The fish foot massage.
The fish foot massage.
Seriously, you got to check it out. You need to try that someday.
I've seen them before, yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty bizarre, and it's a couple dollars, and it's just an interesting cultural experience, that is for sure. Yeah, not sure they do anything for you, and some would actually argue it's unhealthy, I think.
This segment of Drew Marshall brought to you by fish foot massages. Yes.
Or brought to you by calluses.
Yes. Not to be confused with Cialis, that's a completely different
to a coming. Hey, how's this? Coming soon to a soul near you.
Oh,
oh, come on,
beautiful.
Drew, this is a spiritual talk show, right?
Yeah,
that's right,
for sure.
It says soul, S-O-L-E. Or
and it could be a soul fish.
It could be a soul fish, yeah, a soul chamber.
Yes. The soul car.
Soul car. Help us out, Drew.
Soul train.
I want to see that red light flashing, Drew. This is a call-in show, Drew. Steve, tell me, you were at the festival last night.
Yeah.
And tell us a little bit more about that film, because I did want to ask you, and I've had you on the show for these last 3 weeks just because I'm a lover of film and used to hang out at the movie house a lot. I'm going to get the phrase movie house in here as many more times as I can. and still get out there from time to time, but there's a real power in that image and a power in that story. And anyway, tell me about a couple faves. We started out with Bohemian Rhapsody. Clearly, we talked about that last week.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Yeah, I'm hoping to go see Fantastic Beasts, maybe even tonight. But if not, hopefully before the weekend's out. So, yeah, what are you going to get to see before Christmas? What should people go out and see in the next couple months?
There's a couple of good ones that are coming. I know
Yeah, you had talked about Widows
last week. Widows is in theaters now. That is one heck of a thriller, I'll tell you right now.
Okay. Have you seen it?
Yeah, I saw it at TIFF, and it is just fantastic.
I've heard amazing things
about it. I saw it at TIFF. Did he say that with a little bit of pretension?
I saw it at the Toronto International Film Festival.
A little snooty.
I just saw it. But actually, it was really good. It's directed by... He directed 12 Years a Slave. No, it's the guy who directed 12 Years a Slave.
Steve McQueen.
Which this is obviously a very, very different style of film, but it really just it goes
well, and it's got a crazy, crazy good cast. Oh, and yeah. I've heard some really good things.
Crazy
about
good
it.
Cast that just don't live up to the bill, this one does because the script fits the bill. It's really good.
Good. Widows, First Man. We've already talked a little bit about Bohemian Rhapsody.
I've heard amazing things about Green Book.
I haven't seen Green Book. I know.
I've heard it's incredible.
Yeah, it opened this weekend too. I believe.
People's Choice or whatever.
It did win it at the Toronto International Film Festival.
The Toronto International Film Festival.
That's how you have to say it.
Yes, lovely. It's just lovely there.
Thanks, Jim.
An honor.
Thanks, Jim.
Yes. What else are you going to be seeing?
Well, I admit that most of the art house films I wanted to see, I've already seen, so that's good. Like, if Beale Street Could Talk is coming out in a couple of weeks, and that's going to be that's a powerful film.
Now, are any of these Steve on Netflix, or are these all in the theater?
No, they're all in theater.
Okay,
they're all in theater right now. Actually, I have The Ballad of Buster Scruggs just came out on Netflix, so I want to check that out because I'm a Coen Brothers fan.
A series. There's supposed to be 6 quote unquote short stories by the Coen Brothers.
I think they're all in that movie though. Are they? Is it not 6 films?
I heard it was 6 short.
Oh, really?
Maybe I'm wrong.
I thought it was
maybe
6 short stories in one film,
maybe
but I could be wrong. It's a collective story, I think. But I haven't seen it yet. But I know that's out now on Netflix.
Favorite Coen Brothers film?
Oh man, my favorite Coen Brothers film. I'm a sucker for O Brother, Where Art Thou?
Me too. Yeah, mm-hmm.
That song kills me every time. I love that film. That song is just fantastic. Oh, and being an English guy, that came out about the time when we were studying the Odyssey. Oh, well, you're studying the Odyssey. That whole movie just comes alive. It is smart. I love that film.
So what do you say to somebody listening who challenges you and says, wow, you watch a lot of movies?
That's not much of a challenge. I'd say yes.
What you writing sermons, boy?
Yeah, what else do you do as a pastor? Holy cow. How does it relate?
Well,
go ahead.
Sorry.
Quit interrupting, Tim.
I was trying not to.
I'm trying to conduct a serious interview here, man.
Man, he sounds like Drew, doesn't he? It's like nothing's
smokes.
Changed.
Yeah. Wow.
I heard the name was changed. I was listening to the David
Peck
show.
We're lobbying for that. Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Even when he comes back, it's going to be the David Peck show?
You know what?
Drew Peck.
Yes.
We could call
the Drew Peck show. There it is.
David Marshall.
Whatever. David Marshall. Yeah. I think I know a David Marshall. Yeah.
Well, in talking about that, you know, say what? Why does this matter, especially as a pastor? You know, I think when you and I were talking briefly before about parables, and I think that that was something that always drew me to Scripture. I love Jesus telling the parables. But the funny thing about the parables is when Jesus tells them, everybody thinks it's so that everybody can understand what he's saying. It's actually the opposite. It's actually a filter. When you read what he says in Matthew, he actually refers to the fact that he said that it's for people who are you will ever be hearing and never understanding, you will ever be seeing but never perceiving, and he says blessed for you because you do. So what he's talking about there is he put it up there. There were lots of people that were listening to these stories, and it was just like a filter for them. Someone like, oh, this is really funny because it's really strange, or oh, this is a really odd thing. Why is this guy going on about these things? But it was the people that were really listening to what he had to say that got something out of it. But most people just, you know, we've talked before about turning their brain off. And it's the same thing now. It's the same thing with film. So what, trying to coach people to understand that wherever they go, they're getting taught something. So to engage it, open their eyes and just listen to the argument. It's like having a conversation with somebody.
Yeah, it seems, so, yeah.
Jesus was the first guy to do Easter eggs. You know in film?
Oh.
Yeah. Sorry.
Oh, right. I was Easter the holiday?
No,
like
Easter
the
eggs.
Hunt?
Only
like,
on Blu-ray,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right?
You're
okay,
right, you actually. Yeah.
That's
absolutely
only,
right.
Only
that's
on
a great
Blu-rays,
analogy.
Right?
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, coming soon to a theater near you, it's the one, the only Tim Miller. Yeah. It's with a capital T,
okay.
I believe.
I got it. Yeah. Okay.
Screenfish.net. What exactly is that, Steve?
Screenfish.net is our website. We've been running for about 3.5 years now. And our desire is to engage people where they're at. So I talk about the stories that are pervasive in our culture. Screenfish is trying to speak into that. What we go from there is, what does the film have to say? What in it is true? What in it isn't? What is it in this cultural value? What is the worldview of the film? It doesn't matter what it is to me, whether it's Daredevil season 2, which is awesome, by the way, if you haven't seen it. Oh, my. Oh, no, season 3. Sorry. Forgive me for saying season 2 was actually good. or whether it's, you know, Wreck-It Ralph 2 or whatever it is, whatever the latest film is that's coming out or the latest show, we're trying to engage people because people are going and filling and they're taking in the story, but do they have ears to hear? Do they have eyes to see? And we want to engage them with that and then drive them to
And it's interviews, it's podcasts, it's blogs,
absolutely.
It's reviews, and it's across the, I mean, it's into the U.S. You've got writers and so on and podcasters from, I don't know about around the globe, but different locations at
least.
Yeah,
if around the globe is in North America, then yes.
That's this part of the globe.
which is what we often think here in North America, it is the globe.
It's true.
Yeah, we started with 4 of us that were all connected through another Christian film site. And so because of that, we've got people that are in L.A., we've got people that are in Virginia, in Texas. And
what's a Christian film? What do you mean by that? Is there such a thing?
A Christian film site?
Well,
is a Christian
a
film?
Different.
Those are very different.
Yeah. Yeah. What is a Christian film? Because there seems to be
it's
this
usually
whole...
crap.
Yeah.
Hey, sorry.
I didn't say it, but I do think he's right.
Okay. No, that's good. That's good.
You know why?
I'll tell you why.
Yeah, this is my argument.
Unpack that for me.
The truth is... Oh, if you want... You want
no,
to unpack
go ahead,
that?
Steve.
Well, for me, I think the thing is as an artist, as a drama teacher, I always teach my students that art can be an example or a warning. And I find that the warnings are much more interesting. But I think Christians are afraid of the warning because we always have to be the example.
I liked him. Mm. Yeah, what I've felt with most Christian films historically is the fact that they become sermons. And there's a difference between giving a message and proselytizing. And I think that's a challenge for those sorts of things. Now, does that mean that a film can't have a Christian value? Absolutely not. That's not what I'm saying. But what we've seen is that in the production, a lot of those faith-based films, what you see is they're so rushed to get to this sermon illustration that they lose sight of the reality of the characters. They lose sort of those sorts of things. Now, having said that, and we talked about a couple of weeks ago about the difference between sacred and secular, and I don't think there's that divide. I think that God's truth can interact in all sorts of different places, and I think the one of the ways to do that is through cinema.
Yeah, it's interesting. I think there's actually a bend towards this idea of polarization, actually, at least in the U.S. I don't know about up here in Canada, but there's this whole thing called Pure Flicks, and it's all about, you know, Christian film that's being made by Christians, and I don't know if Christians are starring in it or whatever, or at least faith-based. Maybe faith-based is better because at least it opens up the conversation, but I don't know. It's a troubling polarization, I guess, or at least I think it is.
I agree with you on the troubling polarization, and I think that what you can see happen is now. I think I've said this before: is that I'm all for people being aware of what they're taking in terms of content. Like, you should know what you're watching, and you should be aware of it. But the second that you lay that divide and talk about, well, this one is okay because a Christian wrote it, you know, it's like, well, wait a second. Okay, there's a problem there. I wanted to say something real quick. I know we're short on time, but
I know we are. It's ridiculous. We're running out of time. This is crazy talk.
I know, it's true.
But crazy talk radio.
The David Marshall Show.
That's right.
But last week you asked me about a great film and an important film. Yeah. And I wanted to address that really quick because I think it's very simple. I think that all important films or most important films are great, but not all great films are necessarily important. And I think important speaks to life change. You know, I think important opens our eyes, peels back the layer of something that is vital to what we're talking about mm-hmm. in society. And mm-hmm. I think that makes it great. But I mean,
an example of both? Do you have
man.
I can give you one for music.
Go. Therefore.
One of the greatest quotes I ever read and helped me in my understanding of faith and artistry and so on and so forth was when Johnny Cash had passed.
Oh,
Time
yeah.
article and someone, you know, the point was, what is it like being a Christian artist? He said, no, I'm an artist who's a Christian. And I think that is crucial. I think Johnny Cash singing a song about addiction is crucial.
Yep.
We shouldn't be addicted to stuff as Christians, but let's talk about it. Why
right,
not?
Right, we're back to
and
conversation.
And it doesn't have to have a happy
yeah.
ending.
Yeah.
It's, see, that's and that's the thing when you talk about a faith-based film. A lot of times they just make it so easy.
Yeah.
You know, one knee bow and it's gone. And you hear those stories, but it's like, whoa, hold on. What about real struggle?
So you can find out more about Steve and the work he's doing with and why he didn't get his, why he's a film minorish at screenfish.net.
Minorish people get podcasts.
That's
so
right.
We have our biweekly
exactly.
podcast. That's where I'm at.
Exactly. You can find out more
Screenfish
about
Radio.
How he feels and how he thinks about film and the films that you might want to pay attention to. So check them out, screenfish.net. Steve, thanks so much again,
and
I'm sure we'll be able to do this again sometime soon. I'm hoping we can have another conversation about the new Terrence Malick film coming soon to a theater near you. Tim, thanks so much.
Hey, no problem, buddy. It's been a good couple weeks, and Alex, too. Thanks,
yeah,
Alex.
Yeah, Alex, thanks for your help, and yeah, what a great show today, I think.
Sure, let's go with that.
Yeah, let's just go with that.
No, I mean, that's a good way.
Well, it's just so weird. Like, where's the round of applause?
Yes, I don't know.
Come on, man.